Our scripture lesson today is found in the book of 2 Peter. We read chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same kind of faith as ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through these, He has given us His precious and great promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that sinful lust causes in the world. And for this very reason, after applying every effort, add moral excellence to your faith. To moral excellence, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add patient endurance. To patient endurance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly affection. And to brotherly affection, add love. For if you have these qualities, and they are increasing, they are going to keep you from being idle or unfruitful in regard to your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the person who lacks these qualities is short-sighted and, in fact, blind, because he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brothers, be more eager to make your calling and election sure for yourselves. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. In fact, in this way, you will be richly supplied with an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why I intend always to keep reminding you of these things, even though you already know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to keep you wide awake by reminding you, because I know that the putting off of my tent is going to happen soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I will also make every effort so that after my departure, you always have a reminder of these things. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from within the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. Dear people of God, we continue our look at the book of 2 Peter today in chapter 1 as we celebrate Saints Triumphant. We've read the chapter and now we focus on verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Peter wrote this book of the Bible to those who have obtained the same kind of faith as ours. That's you, believers, who by the power of the Holy Spirit working through word and sacrament have come to believe the impossible, that God has had mercy upon us sinners and has saved us through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Peter says that God called you to this by his own glory, by his grace, by the salvation of the gift of faith. And I can say that a million times to my class. And then I'll ask them, okay, how are we saved? And someone will still say, by keeping the commandments. No, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. He was good for you. He kept the commandments for you. He lived, died, and rose again for you. And to you who have this faith, to you who have this understanding, Peter now says, therefore, brothers, be more eager to make your calling and election sure for yourselves. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. In fact, in this way, you will be richly supplied with an inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter mentioned election day. Election is the doctrine of the church that traditionally has made people freak out, totally needlessly. Election says that God chose you to be saved. Before the creation of the world, God knew you, he knew your name, and he chose you. He chose you to be his own. And then he directed all of history just so you would be saved. He chose you not because he saw what a good person you would be, or because how cute you are, or even in view of faith. No, God chose you only because he is good and merciful and gracious. And he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to you, into your heart, to convince you that Jesus is your Savior. That's election. That God chose you. You did not choose him. Election is only gospel. It is only good news for you, dear Christian. It is your weapon. It's your tool. So that when the demons come at night to torment you, when the thoughts come in the darkness, am I saved? Do I have enough faith? The doctrine of election comes and says, relax. You are not saved by your strength, but rather by the strength of God. And now Peter says, make your calling and election sure for yourselves. Well, how do you make your election more sure? It's already sure. God chose you. Well, you see, Peter had just said in verse 4, God has given us his precious and great promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that sinful lust causes in the world. See, you are going to heaven. God has decreed it. Baptism has sealed it on you. The Holy Supper makes it personal as you take in those elements that Jesus died for me. Peter now says, act like it. Escape the corruption that sinful lust causes. Get rid of it. Run away from sin. Be the people of God that he calls you. Then Peter gives us a list of things to aspire to. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love. 7 things, not surprising. In other words, be godly people. It doesn't save you, Jesus saves you. This is just living your faith, showing the world what's going on inside of you, showing your neighbor that I am a Christian. Now, we have a word for this in the church, a word for this revealing of our faith to the world, and that word is sanctification. Peter says that you have these qualities and they are increasing. See, you don't do them perfectly. You can't do them perfectly. Even though that's the goal, to be perfect, we're not going to reach it on this side of the grave. But Peter says, work on it. These qualities are increasing. Get better at them. See, the person who says, well, I am what I am, it's just me, you have to take me the way I am, that person is not working on his faith. That person has given up. That person, Peter says, is blind. Don't give up. There is no graduation from sanctification. There's always something to work on, always something you can do better, always a better way to show Christ to the world, not to be saved. Remember, Jesus saves you and Jesus alone. This is just showing that saving faith to the world. And if anybody understood that, it was the Apostle Peter. Therefore, brothers, be more eager to make your calling and election sure for yourselves. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. In fact, in this way, you will be richly supplied with an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are going to heaven. The Lord has chosen us to be those who will be with him in paradise. And what a welcome you will receive when you get there. As you walk in, the Lord will say, well done, welcome, you did a wonderful job. And we'll look at him and say, Lord, what are you talking about? All I did was mess up and sin. And the Lord will say, not in my book. In my book, you are perfect because Jesus did it for you. Oh, how Peter had to learn that the hard way. How many times didn't Peter mess up? How many times didn't Jesus scold Peter for what he said and did? And yet here, Peter is looking forward to his death. He is looking forward to seeing his Lord and Savior Jesus again. I know that the putting off of my tent is going to happen soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Last week I told you that this book of 2 Peter gives us details into other stories in the Bible. Well, here's another one. What Peter is talking about is an episode he had with the Lord Jesus in John chapter 21. So this was after Easter. Jesus has died and has risen. He's been appearing and disappearing all over the place to the disciples and to others. And at this account, Jesus had appeared to them along the Sea of Galilee, and he told Peter to feed his sheep. Well, then Jesus said to Peter, amen, amen, I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them. That's John. When Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? If I want him to remain until I come, Jesus answered, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, Jesus said that John would live to be a very old man. John would outlive all of the disciples. But Peter would die as a prisoner. Peter's end would not be peaceful. And now Peter says he could see it coming. And he was fine with that because he would be able to see Jesus again. His time in his tent was coming to an end. Now, Peter's tent is his body, his flesh and blood. It's a term that he got from the life of Abraham. Now, again, we have to go to another book of the Bible. The book of Hebrews talks about this. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. By faith, Abraham lived as a stranger in the promised land, as if it did not belong to him, dwelling in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham wandered around this world. Abraham was never at home for his 175 years on this earth. Abraham wandered around, literally living in tents. Abraham owned no land on this earth except a cave that he bought in which he buried his wife. No, Abraham spent his time wandering, waiting, and wanting to be in heaven with the Lord. So Peter talked about the tent of his body. It was old, worn out, temporary. The people of this world will do anything. They will pay any amount to stay in their body just one more day. The Christian can't wait to get out of this old, tired thing and get our heavenly body. The one that the Apostle Paul described in 1 Corinthians 15, the body that will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual, of heaven, immortal. Or as John wrote in his first epistle, "Dear friends, we are children of God now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul got to see heaven. And when he came back, he said that he couldn't describe it at all because it's so far beyond words. What Paul did say is that it's worth it. Do whatever you have to do to keep the faith and to be saved in Jesus. If you have to endure persecution, then endure persecution. If you have to be rejected by your family for your faith in Christ, if you have to choose between a happy life and Christ, the Apostle Paul says that's an easy choice. I'll choose Christ every time. Trust me, it's worth it. Heaven is that awesome. Now, we can't ask anyone who's there what it's like. We have to trust the Word of God. We have to believe. How fortunate for us then that God has chosen to give us this faith, that he has elected us and has already given us this saving faith in Jesus, our Savior. Or as Peter said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen."